there from verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5, or actually from verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, if you will go back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, because behold, all things have become new. Now, I think there's at times misunderstanding about that verse, because in much of religion today, the idea is that when you get saved, you supernaturally then are empowered to live this new life as this new creature in Christ. Well, the Bible is clear, we are a new creature in Christ. But what I want to do today is show you some differences in the old man and the new man. From personal experience, I can tell you that I do not believe that a whole lot changes about your flesh the moment you get saved. As a matter of fact, you're still walking around, no matter how long you've been saved, 25, 30, 35 years, you're still walking around in a body of sinful flesh that still has sinful desires, sinful lust, and so forth. But thanks be unto God that we are new creatures, and that we can put on this new man. Paul said, put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So I want us to look in the Scriptures today and see some of the contrast between that old man and the new man. And by the way, that battle is one that rages continually, because the old man is always present, and the old man is there trying to dictate what you do on a daily basis. The new man is in conflict with that old man, and that's why Paul says that we are, he said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. In other words, there was a conversation, there was a manner of life that was associated with that old man and that old nature. Paul said you need to put that off. And he says, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Now, spiritually speaking, as we said there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it is a spiritual fact, it is a truth, that we are new creatures in Christ. And I believe that new creature has to do with something that's created in the inner man. Any man being Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Well, let's look at some of those old things that are to pass away when a person gets saved. The first thing I want you to notice is back there in Colossians, I should have had you hold on there. There's a contrast between the old man. Well, I'll tell you what, we're in Ephesians anyway, so hold on there a minute. We're going to go back and forth between these two, and they're close together. So in Ephesians chapter 4, if you look back in verse 10, in Ephesians 4:10, I think that's the verse. No, I'm sorry, 18. Ephesians 4:18. I'll get it together in a minute. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened. Now, who's he talking about? Well, look back in verse 17. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He's talking about those that are lost. Having the understanding darkened. Well, then, the old man, what is his understanding? It's darkened. Why is that? Because, as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, that which brings light is truth. Paul says that you're not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. So the old man, his understanding is darkened. He does not understand the things of God that a man that is saved does understand. An example of that's back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there's a contrast there between the lost and the saved, and also a picture of the saved that act like they're lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see, natural man does not have the same ability to understand and perceive scriptural things that a lost man does not have the same ability as a saved man does. Look in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice, but the natural man, that is the old man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, a lot of times, when we try to share truth with people, when we try to talk to people about the Word of God, we need to stop and understand that what may be needed is to go back to the simplicity of the Gospel. Because sometimes when you're arguing or debating, what you're doing is debating with a dead person. And you know how that would go. I mean, these people are dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. And he says here, he that is spiritual, he judgeth all things, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, how does the Spirit of God, then, convey to people truth? Well, I believe he does that through the Word of God. There was a day when God revealed himself in an audible, physical way. He did that in the Old Testament to some of the prophets. He revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the book of Acts, those disciples, they had a supernatural anointing. It's called an unction in 1 John. And they were given what to say. But listen, folks. Sorry. We today know the things of God, not because God reveals them to us in some kind of vision or light or extra-biblical revelation. We know the things of God by the Word of God. But a man cannot really understand the things of God apart from having the Spirit of God indwell him, which every believer has at the moment of trusting Christ as their Savior. So, when you're debating with somebody, always start, or discussing with people the Scriptures, always start with the truth of the Gospel. And show people that salvation is a free gift by trusting in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. You know, you can sit down and discuss things with somebody that's saved, or you ought to be able to. And you ought to be able to do so in a decent and civil manner. Even if you disagree, you discuss things, you go over them, and some you may agree on, some not. But you know, if you've ever tried to discuss things with somebody that doesn't even believe that Christ died for their sins and is trusting in their own flesh, you know that that is vain. That's vanity. And there's not much use in it. Why is that? Because the Bible says their understanding is darkened. What does he say about that new man? Well, in Colossians, where we read a moment ago, he said in Colossians 3:10, "He would put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You see, you have a renewed mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But we have it only to the extent that we are willing to read and study this book, so that our mind becomes conformed to His mind and in line with His mind. This book gives us the mind of Christ. And you know, a perfect example of that, again, is that old man and that new man. That old man, he wants to respond to things in this world on the basis of his flesh. It's what's called selfishness. I have a very difficult time with that. And I know from looking at you that you're thinking, "Well, I don't." Just kidding. You see, I shouldn't reveal all these weaknesses of your pastor because I know you all think I'm perfect. No, folks, we all do. We know that. We're kidding, aren't we? We all know that we have that battle that continually rages, that old man and the new man. And the old man wants to respond to things based on the flesh. But you see, we have the mind of Christ. It comes down to which mind are we going to let control us? The mind of the old man, the instruction of the old man, or the new man? And it's a struggle to do so because the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and they're contrary one to the other. I mean, you know, if something happens in your life and you get upset and mad about something, is the new man the one that responds, or is it usually the old man? It's usually the old man. We usually respond against according to the sinful nature, not the way that God would have us to respond. But you see, that's the importance of us continually reading and studying. And as Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And it's not something you can go and take a 6-week study course and have it all fixed up. It's something that has to happen on a continual basis. It is a constant renewing of the mind to line our thinking up with God's thinking so that we're faced with circumstances in life. We want to react how God would want us to react rather than how we desire to react according to our flesh. That's what Paul is talking about there in Colossians when he says, "Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So we see a contrast then between the old man and the new man. The old man has his understanding is darkened. The new man is renewed in knowledge. The old man, he can't receive the things of God, according to 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the new man, he's able to judge all things on the basis of God's word. The old man, look in Ephesians chapter 2. The old man is the child of wrath, or was the child of wrath. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in," what? "The children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You were by nature children. You see, that tells you something. You didn't become a sinner when you committed your first sin. You were by nature the children of wrath. I've mentioned so many times before about how so many religions today want to believe that man becomes a sinner when he commits his first sin. I know of one particular group in general that I've had conversations with many people. And they say, well, man is not born in sin. Man becomes a sinner when he commits his first sin. Well, the reason they want to preach and teach that is because they also believe that man becomes righteous and holy by quitting sin. You see, if you preach that man becomes a sinner by sinning, then you can, the converse of that is, man can become righteous by not sinning. Well, that's simply not true. The Bible says right here, you were by nature, the children of wrath. You were born in sin. Look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You were born as a child of wrath. Now, here's the good news. When God Almighty, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned to death there, God Almighty would have been just in His dealings with mankind, and particularly with the nation Israel, to bring in the 70th week of Daniel and the tribulation and rain His wrath down upon this world. But instead of doing that, He saved the Apostle Paul, who was the first, He said, to be saved in the manner in which he was saved, a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. And so whereas the old man was a child of wrath, notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you have peace with God? You know, you ever hear somebody say, well, so-and-so made their peace with God before they died? Or somebody is sick, they say, hey, he needs to get right, needs to make his peace with God. Let me tell you something, folks. The peace of God is, God has already made peace. God is not today angry with you. He's not mad at you. He says, we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The child of wrath, the old man was a child of wrath. The new man is at peace with God, and it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The old man, a child of wrath. The new man, peace with God. The old man, look back in Romans chapter 3. The old man, in the old man, there was none righteous. Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see the despicable and desperate position that mankind was in? The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I mean, you know, people present this idea of mankind seeking God at an old-fashioned altar. People weren't seeking God. They're rebelling against God. Look at when Jesus Christ came. There He was, the Messiah, the Son of God, miracle worker, and presenting Himself to mankind. And what did they do? They rejected Him. They spit upon Him. They crucified Him. They put Him to death. What happened to the apostles? Most of them ended up dying a martyr's death. Notice Stephen over there in Acts chapter 7. What the religious world do to him? They put him to death. There is none good. We're all gone out of the way. There is none righteous. But notice what Paul says about us now that we're in Christ. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. You see, had we remained in that condition of being no good and apart from God, the only remedy would be wrath and judgment and eternity in the lake of fire. But in Colossians chapter 1, over in verse 21, notice what Paul says, And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh, notice, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that amazing that you could be, that you could go from being a person who, as far as your flesh is concerned, is deserving of wrath and anger and judgment and punishment and eternal hellfire, and in a heartbeat, you go from that to an individual who is looked at upon God by God as unblameable, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You know what that means? God can find no fault in you. I don't know about you, but buddy, that makes me glad. Because I am a fault-riddled individual. And you know, people can find fault in you real easy. People can find fault in you, I mean, just at the drop of a hat. I mean, any of you that are married, you can find fault in your spouse just real quick. And you know, you can find fault in the preacher. And you can find fault in the people. But you know what? Because of our position in Jesus Christ, God can find no fault in us. He's accepted us in himself. And as a new creature in Christ, that new man who was no good, despicable, apart from God, the Bible says we were enemies. Here it says we were aliens. You know what an alien? That's somebody from another planet. That's somebody that said, I mean, they're out of place. Well, that's who we were. But in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Everybody else might find fault with you, but let me tell you something. God Almighty sees you in his Son Jesus Christ, accepted in the beloved, without fault. There's none good, no, not one. So the Lord Jesus Christ remedied that by his death on the cross. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I tell you what, just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for time's sake. That old man, we touched on this the earlier hour, but I'll just go over it quickly because we have people that tune in and people that are here that weren't here. But we saw in Sunday school this morning between those that were blind and those that see. The commission that God gave the Apostle Paul that's recorded in Acts chapter 26 says he's going to turn the Gentile, those he preached to, from darkness to light. It says to open their eyes, turn from darkness to light. Well, you see, that's where we read a moment ago about our understanding was darkened. But as in the old man, we were in darkness. We were slaves to darkness, if you will. We were captive to darkness. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, verse we read earlier, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, hold on here and look in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, verse we read a moment ago, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened. They were in darkness. Look down in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, in the old man, there was darkness. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the old man is blind. He's in darkness. He couldn't see. What he needed was light. And that light is the truth of the Word of God. It's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He did that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did it for you and I through the message committed to the Apostle Paul that brought light to those Gentiles, brought light to us who were in darkness, and showed us the truth of salvation by grace through faith, not because we were allied with Israel, but because we trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not only that, what we read there in Ephesians 2 a moment ago, we don't want to turn back there. But that old man is dead. He was dead in trespasses and sins. And today we are alive in Christ Jesus. We have life in Him. Look back there in Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians 2. I said we didn't need to, but we need to look at verse 5. Because he says there in verse 1, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead in trespasses and sins. But notice in verse 5, the quickening process. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He did it. Notice what He said. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. I mean, you can just go on and on, folks, through the Scriptures and see the contrast between that old man and the new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's become new? We're a new creature in Christ. Whereas our understanding was darkened, now we're renewed in knowledge day by day. Whereas we could not receive the things of God, today we can judge all things by the Word of God. Whereas we were the child of wrath, today we have peace with God. Whereas we were unrighteous, counted as lost and condemned, today we're holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Whereas in time past we were blind, today we see. I once was blind, but now I see, the song said. And whereas we were dead, we are now alive. Whereas we were one time a natural man, we're now a spiritual being in the eyes of God Almighty. Now, with all that in mind, I want you to look in Ephesians 4 as we wrap up here. Ephesians 4 for the next few minutes. Here's the picture then that Paul draws. You see, all of that I've just mentioned has to do with the positional place we find ourselves in Christ Jesus. And when Paul gets down to verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "This I say, therefore." Now, when he says therefore, he's referring back to what's previously been said. And what's previously been said in Ephesians chapter 4, and even the chapter 4, is where we are in Christ. He says we have a new vocation. He said we're to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called, and we're to do it with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, keeping the unity of the Spirit. And he talks about the edification of the church body there, and how that we are not to be children tossed to and fro, but speak the truth in love. And he gets down to verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But notice what he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, here's the verses we started out with. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You see, spiritually, the things we went over a moment ago, those things we went over, have to do with what God did on our behalf to take us from the position of the old man to the new man. Now we're over here in the new man. And yet the Bible says, put on the new man, he says. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, and put on the new man. In other words, the conversation, the manner of life, needs to be in line with who we are and what we are in Christ. Now, I know that that upsets some people when preachers talk about these kind of things. But come on, folks, we've got some specific instructions in the Word of God about this new man that we are in Christ Jesus. Many of them are right here. Paul said to the Corinthians, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord. God wrote some things down that he wants us to pay attention to. And it has nothing to do with our salvation. We're already in Christ, sealed under the day of redemption, accepted in the blood, justified, sanctified, redeemed, blood-washed, blood-bought, saints of God, sealed under the day of redemption, and nothing in our flesh can change that. But the Bible says there in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, most of the things that Paul talks about, when he talks about things that we are to do in our flesh, that's according to the Word of God, they generally have to do with things that would make our relationship as members of the body better. You see, when he says, I say therefore, he just finished saying back in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, Paul said, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Now, I just want you to think about some things. Look over here. Verse 25. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You think it'd be easier to get along with somebody that you knew always told the truth, or somebody you knew couldn't tell the truth? Well, you know the answer to that. It's hard to coexist with people when you never know when what they say is truth or not. Listen, folks, we have the truth of the Word of God, and we're to speak the truth. And that's what he says, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? We're members one of another. We need to be truthful with one another, speaking the truth in love. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You think that would obedience to that would help your relationship one with another? I do. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You think it would be a good relationship to have a neighbor that every time you turned around, they were stealing something from you? That might cause a little friction. And one, my dad used to always say, he said, there's two things he couldn't tolerate, and that was a liar and a thief. I remember one time I came home with a little toy in my pocket. And he marched me back down the street to give it back to the fellow I took it from. When I got off the school bus there in Selma, Alabama, we lived on Riverside Drive, and I walked down this street and made a turn, and the lady that lived in the corner there, she had a huge pecan tree out there, and so we'd cut across her yard, and when the pecans were all over the ground, I'd stop and fill my pockets up with those pecans. And so she watched me one day and saw where I went, and she called my dad, and she said, "Your son is stealing my pecans." He walked me down. He says, "You're going down there and take every one of those pecans back, and you're going to apologize to that lady. You ain't going to be a thief." And so I went back down there, and I told her, I said, "I'm sorry." Tears running down my cheeks, and you know, I was shy and bashful, and I said, "I'm sorry I did this," and I gave her the pecans back. She said, "Well, I don't mind you picking them up as long as you ask me, because there are times when I want the pecans." And about 3 days later, I was walking home from school. She come out there, had a big old brown grocery bag, kind of turned down, you know, but it's about that full. She said, here's you some pecans. I ate pecans till I got sick. But my dad said, "You don't lie and don't steal." You see, the things that Paul's saying here, folks, they have a reason for that. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You see, what I see in the passage here, folks, is that God Almighty knew that at our very best, we were going to have a hard time getting along with one another. At our very best, we were going to have a hard time functioning as a body. And so what did he do? He gave us some instructions. And he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's the whole reason. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, when there are problems, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then he goes on down through fornication, uncleanness, all these things he says, put off. Why? Because God wants us to function as a body. And he's given us some instructions about some things that will interfere with us functioning as his body. Because today, folks, listen, we are his representatives upon this earth as members of his body, proclaiming his truth. And the problem today is that there's so much schism and fighting and arguing that we're spending time doing that and not getting the job done. Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. We are members one of another. And God Almighty desires that we put off that old man and put on the new man. Not so we can strut around in who we are in the flesh and how good we are. That's not what it's about. But he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, all that he's saying there, really, and all that he's desiring of us, is that there be an outworking, as Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that there be an outworking of who we are internally. And we're new creatures in Christ. He said, don't operate on the basis of who you were. Operate on the basis of who you are in Christ. That new creature, that new man. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything I said about that old man is you. But today, in a heartbeat, in one breath, you can pass from death unto life and from that old man to that new creature in Christ simply by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and relying totally and completely upon what he did at Calvary. If you've never done that, do that right now as we go to the Lord in prayer. Receive him as your Savior and be that new person. That doesn't mean that when you trust him that everything in your life is going to change and all going to be, you know, no, but you're going to be a new creature internally and you're going to have a new insight and you're going to have a book that will instruct you on what God desired of you. Would you stand with me for prayer?